You see, totally abandoning yourself, totally cashing in your life, that's not risky. Giving away who you are and all your possessions so that the glory of the Lord might go forth is not risky. No, that's total freedom. It's not risky. What's risky is professing the name of Jesus and then getting to the end and realizing it was all a charade. That's what's risky.
Welcome to This Day in the Word with Pastor John Couch, the radio teaching ministry of This Day Ministries. It is a joy to have you listening today, and we pray that you will be encouraged, challenged, and motivated to live for God like never before. And now, with today's message, here's Pastor John Couch.
Hey, this is John Couch with This Day Ministries. Thanks so much for tuning in to This Day in the Word. Let's take our Bibles together right now, and let's turn to Psalm 71, looking at verse 8, as we listen to the conclusion of the message entitled, What Am I Filled With?
Listen to these verses that will strengthen your heart today. Jeremiah 17, verse 14. Jeremiah 17, 14. Heal me, O Lord, and I shall be healed. Save me, and I shall be saved, for you are my praise. The flesh craves to be praised, not to praise. Have you noticed that? This illustration here is not negative per se, although I'm going to use it in a way that will hopefully show us how our flesh is wired. If you've been a child before, how many people have ever been a child? Raise your hand. Okay. Yeah, again, those guys in the back there. Okay, that's a whole other sermon. We'll preach later on that one there. You ever ridden a bike? And you got on that bike, and the first thing you did was say what? Look at me, right? And we all crave that. Every one of us, we crave to be praised. And again, that's not necessarily evil as long as the overarching object of our praise is always God. Because we're wired as humans that we love to hear that, hey, good job. We love to hear, like, I don't think if you're going to work tomorrow, you know, you can't wait to wake up and go, man, I can't wait to be called a loser. I mean, think about how silly that is. No one would do that, right? I mean, it's part of our DNA that we want to hear good things. The key is we can't anchor our satisfaction, we can't anchor our hope, our identity, our security to what others say about us. We anchor our hope and our identity and our security to the perfect finished work of Jesus Christ. Because even when others hate us because of Him, and the Word says they will, we still go, oh, that's okay. I still cling to Jesus. As Paul even said, at my first offense, no one stood with me, all forsook me. But God. But God stood with me, that the gospel might be preached to the Gentiles, and I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. Deuteronomy 10:21. He, God, is your praise. He is your God, who has done for you these great and terrifying things that your eyes have seen. I love what C.S. Lewis said. Listen closely what C.S. Lewis said. The psalmist, in telling everyone to praise God, are doing what all men do when they speak of what they care about. D.L. Moody said it like this, and this one really struck me. We have in our churches a great deal of prayer, but I think it would be a good thing if we had a praise meeting occasionally. If we could only get people to praise God for what He has done, it would be a good deal better than asking Him continually for something. Does God want us to cast our burdens on Him? The answer is an absolute yes. But if I'm not careful, I will fall into that trap that Moody's talking about. That I'm constantly asking, and I'm forgetting to praise. The Word says to give thanks in all circumstances. Man, when your life is unraveling, when you lose your job, when your marriage is on the rocks, when you can't pay your bills, when the cars are blowing up, whatever's going on in your world, you can simply exclaim at the end of the day, let everything that has breath praise my God. And that's why the last part of this verse rolls into something so sweet and beautiful. When the psalmist says this in context, let my mouth be filled with your praise and with your glory all the day. The glory is the honor, it's the beauty, it's the splendor, it's the majesty of how great God is. It's just His glory. We can't even understand it in our finite human minds, but we attempt to. We try to grasp it, saying, oh God, you're so beautiful. Oh Lord, you're so beautiful. It's your face is all I see. The glory. The glory. The glory. How often are we to be filled and satisfied with His praise and glory? Every other day, once a week on Sunday morning, throw in a discipleship class during the week. No, it says here, all the day. It should consume us. If we're going to ever have revival and awakening in America, we have to become consumed with the glory of God. It will not happen any other way. With it, just become consumed. God, I just don't want to speak this any longer. I want to show you with my actions that here, take every ounce of who I am, and you use me for your glory. Oh, whatever it costs me, I'm willing to pay the price. Oh, God, you do the work that only you can do and draw many men and women and children to yourself. That's the life that's worth living. The glory. Did you notice this in both the praise and the glory? The praise was totally centered on God by the psalmist, and the glory is totally centered on God. See, self-actualization, which is so predominant in our culture today, the Eastern mysticism that has infiltrated our churches on so many occasions, self-actualization says the power resides within you. And my Bible screams, the power resides within God. It's all about God. He will make a way in your life where there seems no way. When you're standing at the edge of your Red Sea and you say, God, I don't know how this is going to happen. It's only God that can make a way where there seems to be no way. There's absolutely nothing you can do in your own strength to part your Red Sea. You got to stand still and see the salvation of our God. That's what it's going to take. That's why key number three is this. God's glory must dominate my life all the day. God's glory must dominate. I'm not talking about where His glory is just another trophy on your mantle. I'm not talking about where God's glory is like riding around in the trunk of your car while you drive down Dale Mabry. I'm talking about God's glory dominating your life. I mean, just overshadowing you, overshadowing me. It's all about God and His glory. Because at some point during your day, things are not going to go your way. Our heart's desire must be that God's glory would saturate our minds, saturate and permeate our hearts all the day long. J.C. Ryle said it like this, believe me, you cannot stand still in your souls. Habits of good or evil are daily strengthening in your hearts. Every day, you are either getting nearer to God or further off. That's why Psalm 115:1 says it like this. Not unto us, not unto us, but to your name we give glory because of your mercy, because of your truth. 1 Chronicles 29:11. Yours, O Lord. Notice the God-centricness of this text. Yours, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. For all that is in the heavens and in the earth is yours. Yours is the kingdom, O Lord, and you are exalted as head over all. 1 Corinthians 10:31. 1 Corinthians 10:31. So whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do for the glory of God. And that's why we take encouragement from this glory in 2 Corinthians 4:17. 2 Corinthians 4:17. For this momentary affliction is preparing, it's working for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. See, this glory that is to be revealed in Romans 8:18, it says that the trials, the tribulations that you're going through right now are not worthy to be compared. It means this: what you're going through today will not pass the test. It's not worthy to be compared to the glory which shall be revealed. Isn't that awesome? That no matter what you're going through today, the glory that you're going to receive, well done, thou good and faithful servant, enter into your time of rest. You're not going to look back and go, man, I sure wish I would have worked more at the office. You're not going to sit back and go, man, that was a really sweet house I lived in down there. Wow, that car I drove, that was incredible. No, you're going to be basking in the glory of Jesus himself. Revelation says this: there will be no S-U-N because the brightness and the glory of the S-O-N will shine like forever. See, this praising and this glorifying God is really a dress rehearsal for what we'll be doing in all eternity. Ever thought about this? It's a dress rehearsal. We are going to be worshiping and praising and glorifying 24/7, 365 for all eternity. There's no end. We'll just be worshiping. If I got a PhD in complaining, that's not a very good dress rehearsal for eternity, is it? Unless you plan on spending it away from God. And there'll be a time of weeping and gnashing of teeth. Where the flame of the fire will be so hot and so intense, and it will never, ever be extinguished. Ever. There's going to be no relief. There's nothing you can do when you're apart from the God of the Bible.
You're listening to This Day in the Word, the radio teaching ministry of This Day Ministries. All of Pastor Couch's messages are archived and are free to download at thisdayministries.org. In addition, you can share your prayer requests with us via email. Our email address for prayer requests is prayer@thisdayministries.org. That's prayer@thisdayministries.org. And now, back to This Day in the Word with Pastor John Couch.
A.W. Pink says it like this: if any occupation or association is found to hinder our communion with God and our enjoyment of spiritual things, then it must be abandoned. Anything in my habits or ways which mars happy fellowship with the brethren or robs me of power and service is to be unsparingly judged and made an end of, burned. Whatever I cannot do, here we go, for God's glory must be avoided. That is glorious advice. Just don't even go down that path. Don't open the door. Don't open it to your mind or your heart. Run it through what I call the glory filter. In our houses, in our church buildings, we have air conditioning typically. And air conditioners have an air filter. And the point of the air filter is not for decoration, but it catches the air as it passes through and entraps the material and the particles that are going to damage the air handler and the unit itself. We need to run everything through our glory filter. And everything we do, we just run it through the glory filter. Is what I'm about to do, think, say, going to give glory to God? I don't think so. Don't do it. Just run everything through God's glory filter. And if it doesn't give glory to God, turn from it, repent from it, go the other way, and walk that way no more. That's why there's three concluding thoughts I have on this text. Three concluding thoughts. Number one, this is one of the most difficult verses for us to live out daily, as our stiff necks and hardened hearts do not gravitate towards the imploring of the psalmist, but we default to rebelling. My flesh, your flesh doesn't automatically say, hey, I want to praise someone else. We want to be praised. It doesn't say our flesh go, hey, I want to be glorifying someone else. Our flesh defaults to being glorified. Number two, the psalmist is saying, and don't miss this, in the midst of my distress and afflictions, not in the absence of my distress and afflictions. Did you notice verse 1 and 7? There's complaint and praise, complaint and praise. In the midst of your affliction, in the midst of his affliction, he's saying, oh, I praise you. Oh, I give glory. Not in the absence of. Anyone can praise God in the absence of affliction. When you begin to know who truly is the Lord of someone's life, is that when he begins to slay them and they still with speech and action say, though you may slay me, yet I will trust in you. That's going to preach 1,000 sermons right there. And number three, God is passionately for his praise and his glory, not ours. And he will pursue his glory at any and all costs, even at the expense of our own personal comfort. You say, where are you getting this from, preacher? Isaiah chapter 42, verse 8. Isaiah 42, 8 says this, I am the Lord, that is my name. My glory I give to no other. He is jealous for his name. He is jealous for the fame of his name. When he made those things called the Ten Commandments, and right out of the gate, he says this, number one, there shall be no other gods before me. Whether it's Hebrew or any other language, the word no means zero in that instance. Not half of one, not a part of an idol. God's not content to stand on your victory stand, sharing first place. That's not his goal in your life. His goal in your life is to be so dominant for his praise and his glory that he is your victory stand. That he's just it. Now, this is tragic news to some people. But the raw reality is that we are not the center of the universe. And bear with me on this. But according to God's word, we are not the center of the gospel. Now bear with me. For many professed believers, this statement makes them furious and incensed. Why? Because our depraved sin nature hungers and thirsts to be me-centric at all times, and yet the Bible screams like a neon sign on fire that God's praise and God's glory are at the center of the gospel for the fame of his name. The manger, the cross, and the empty tomb are not evidence that we should be praised and we should be glorified. No. These are symbols that crash like a tidal wave into our rebellious hearts as a bullhorn, resounding the infinitely deafening praise and sun-blinding glory of the greatness of the God of the Bible and his glorious Son, Jesus Christ. Now,
Are we benefactors that become adopted as sons and daughters into the kingdom of God through the manger, through the cross, and the empty tomb? The answer is absolutely yes. But at the beginning of the day, all the day long, and at the end of the day, it's all about God's praise and His glory. The alarming and frightening reality is that homes and churches and individuals are struggling as they have exchanged the truth for the lie in switching God's praise for their own praise and replacing God's glory for their own glory, as there is no fear of God before their eyes. You may be wondering right now, then who is this Jesus? Many people will pray with a smile, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done." But how many of us will pray with a smile, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. My kingdom be exterminated, my will be exterminated." Every person is building a kingdom. Every person in this room today is building a kingdom. We're either building the kingdom of God or we're building the kingdom of self. Which one are you building? We're either building the kingdom of God, everything for the renown and fame and glory of His name, or we're building a kingdom and monument to ourselves. When was the last time that as you heard the preacher preach, whoever that might be, that as you saw the word dwell so richly in him, he became to be so stirred, so captivated with the love of God, so enamored with the glory of God, so infatuated and intoxicated with the praise of God, that you yourself became to be infatuated and intoxicated as well. That you wanted to rise to your feet. And that you want to say, "That's the Jesus I want to serve." I began to think about Jesus. And contrary to what is taught and spoken of in our culture about my Jesus, Jesus is not the big man upstairs. He's not your buddy. He's not Mother Nature. Here's who my Jesus is. He's the only begotten Son of God. He's the Almighty One. He's the indescribable gift. He's my advocate. He's the Lamb of God. He's the resurrection and the life. He's my great shepherd, and he's the judge. He's the Lord of lords, and he's the man of sorrows. He's the head of the church, the true senior pastor. He's the master. He sets me free, and he sets you free. He's faithful and true. He's my witness. He's my rock. He's my great high priest. He's the door. He's the living water. He's our peace. He's our bread of life. He's the rose of Sharon. He's our hope. He's our Alpha. He's our Omega. He's the beginning. He's the end. He's the true vine. He's the Messiah. He's our teacher. He's the Holy One. He's the meditator. He's the beloved. He's the branch. He's the good shepherd. He's the light of the world. He's the image of the invisible God. He's the Word that became flesh and dwelt among us. He's the chief cornerstone. He's the Savior. He's the servant. He's the author and the perfecter and the finisher of our faith. He's the propitiation for our sins. He's the Almighty. He's the everlasting Father. He's the Lion of Judah. He's the great I Am. He's the King of Kings. He's the Prince of Peace. He's the Bridegroom. He's Wonderful Counselor, Prince of Peace, Mighty God. He's Emmanuel. Oh, yes, He's the Root of David, the Son of Man. He's the Dayspring. He's the Great Amen. He's the King of the Jews. He's our Prophet. He's the Redeemer. He is, yes, the true vine among all the false vines. He's my anchor. He's the bright and morning star. He's the way. He's the truth. He's the life. He's our risen Lord. He's our soon and coming King. This is my Jesus. You see, totally abandoning yourself, totally cashing in your life, that's not risky. Giving away who you are and all your possessions so that the glory of the Lord might go forth is not risky. No, that's total freedom. It's not risky. What's risky is professing the name of Jesus and then getting to the end and realizing it was all a charade. That's what's risky. The psalmist said, my mouth is satisfied with your praise and with your glory all the day. Amen. Father, we come before you today with broken hearts, contrite hearts. Oh God, we pray for revival and awakening to break out in this area. And we know that when your glory comes down on us, when it's manifest in our presence, we will see you like never before. Oh God, I pray today our answer is yes, yes, and more yes. Oh God, bring your glory. Show us your glory, God. And do the work that only you can do. God, will be quick to give you the praise, to give you the glory. And we pray this in the mighty and the matchless name of the King, King Jesus, who was executed on a cross that we might live. We pray this in his name and his name only, the name that's above every name. We pray this in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen, amen.
You've been listening to This Day in the Word, the radio teaching ministry of This Day Ministries. Don't forget that all of these messages are archived and are free to download at thisdayministries.org. That's thisdayministries.org. In addition, if you have been blessed by the teaching of God's Word during This Day in the Word, we would love to hear from you. Our email address is info@thisdayministries.org. Thanks again for listening as we strive to honor Christ and impact our world as we spend this day in the Word.